Thank you for coming back to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are now on a new journey, if you've been tuning in, with Miss Tara and Carrie and myself, Sandy. And it's really been interesting. We've learned about cultural intelligence, and we've also learned, like, there's steps that we need to do when we're in our life, just anything that we're going to deal with within life. You know, we have a motivation and desire and want to take care of things and help, but we have to have knowledge, and we also have to have a strategy for it, and then we have to put it into action. Mm-hmm. So Tara's going to define some things, and Carrie might be throwing something in, too.
Maybe.
They're so funny because it's a new series, and they're both like, we don't want to talk. I'm like, okay, do you guys want to say anything? Nope, nope, nope. We're not talking. You just keep talking, Tara.
So here's Tara.
Good job.
Keep
up the good work.
Y'all are so funny. Oh, my goodness. So we have examined what the strategies are for how to grow through the stages of discipleship. We've examined what are the stages we go through for cultural intelligence. And now what we're going to start doing is we're going to start taking the biblical dictionary definitions. Who is a foreigner? Who is a stranger? Who is an alien? And who is a sojourner? Because they're actually each different. But our Bible translations often will use just the word foreigner sometimes. And so you'll actually have to look at the context to see which one it is. And so we need to understand how the Bible dictionaries would define them. And what you need to know is I have come up with these definitions. They are kind of like a combination of many different dictionaries. Definitions where I've created my own definitions, but I've taken pieces from different dictionaries. So I just want you to know that. So I've used Unger's, Barclay, the Dictionary of the Holy Bible, Adam Clark, the Apologetics Study Bible, and the Holman Bible Dictionary. I want to make it clear I've used all of those to come up with these definitions. So these aren't my definitions per se. It's words that I've taken from those to make my own. So a foreigner for us in this study is someone who lives in a country that's not his own, okay? And this person will have no living relatives in the land. But what we have to understand is this person is often a merchant, a soldier, or a craftsman, somebody that's traveling through maybe because of business or because of the military, something on that along those lines. This term will never refer to somebody who has lived in this land before, okay? And so it'll never be somebody that, like, if you've lived there before, you're never going to be called a foreigner. But what you need to know is a foreigner can be called an alien, and I'll go to that definition in a minute. What you need to understand from the biblical text, a foreigner is without citizenship. A foreigner will never have rights to inheritance to the land, ever. Okay, that's important. Now, a stranger, what you need to know when we are using the word stranger in Scripture, typically the word stranger is used to describe a foreigner or an alien that does not understand the feelings, customs, or experiences of a place. So things appear strange. They don't understand. And so all of us at different points, I've shared different examples in the last show of how I was a stranger in certain circumstances because I didn't understand. However, there's more to being a stranger than just not understanding. A stranger is someone who is estranged, okay? Somebody that is often not welcomed or well-regarded, and they can be perceived as people are suspicious of them. So it can be a foreigner in the land, and they're strange because there seems to be a lack of understanding between. So do you see how the definitions can build on one another? Mm-hmm. Sometimes today, now in the Bible, you need to know the word immigrant's not used. Refugee is not used. But sometimes an immigrant could be in the category of stranger. But the Bible did not have that word. That's a new word. It's something that's been created since the Bible was written. All right, now an alien is someone who lives in the land but has no relatives living in that community. Often these are people that have had to flee their country because of war or natural disasters, famine, crime, or accidents. Think of somebody that's in flight looking for a safe haven. Aliens can be rendered as foreigners. And in our language today, we often refer to people who are aliens as refugees.
Refugees, that's what it
is. And so the word refugee also was not a word that was used in those days. That's a new word that's been created since then. While a sojourner is a foreigner that's a temporary dweller that's only traveling through but has no intentions to stay. So they're just sojourning through. Is how I remember it. That's my little, so they're journeying through. They're a sojourner. And each of these can be combined together at different times. And so that's one of the things you need to know. Now, what I discovered is that there are two key words that we're going to use for the entire series. I'm going to give you three. In Hebrew, the Hebrew word for foreigner, alien, sojourner, or stranger is the word ger. Okay? That is the word that is used in Hebrew. So it's spelled G-E-R. A ger is the person that's a foreigner who lives in the land. Now, what you need to know is a ger has a positive connotation to it. A ger is positive because this is a person that though they may be a temporary dweller, they may not have an inheritance, they may have come because of war or may feel strange and not understand, or they may be passing through. They're willing to abide by and assimilate within the community while they're there. And so a ger has a positive connotation to who they are, and because they are willing to assimilate within the community. That word assimilate is very important. Now, in their culture, they had two levels to this assimilation. Now, for us, for our Bible study, what we're going to be evaluating in the Bible narratives is, are they willing to assimilate to the things of God? Because ultimately, that's the whole point. Our point is to get to a person to the point of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so from a biblical worldview, that's our goal. So there's two descriptions they use. They had the gers that were within the gates, or they would also use the word, you know, we use the word proselyte. So somebody that's within the gates, they called them the proselytes of within the gate. So they're there. They're willing to like abide by the laws of Noah. Mm. And so they're assimilating and they're willing to respect the community and assimilate in that aspect. So they're there and they're honoring a lot of what is expected. But the proselytes of justice took assimilation to the whole new level. And so they would not just honor the precepts of Noah, but they would also do many of the laws that were very important to the community. So they wouldn't do idolatry or homicide or incestry or robbery. They wouldn't eat the flesh and blood of the animals. And so they took it to an even greater level of assimilation. Both of them are good, but the higher level would be obviously the proselyte of justice, somebody that was willing to live well into the land. Do you guys have any questions on that within the ger?
No.
So a ger is positive mm-hmm. because they're willing to assimilate. Now, a czar, the czar. Does my tone tell you anything?
We must be going negative.
Okay. A czar is someone who comes in the community that's outside the community or can actually be in the community and be estranged from the community. It is a person who chooses to be the stranger that everyone is very suspicious of. They're not willing to do things agreeably. They're not willing to assimilate. Often they're a nuisance, they're negative, and they definitely do not choose to follow the Torah. So they're not willing to follow the biblical principles. And there are no social benefits given at all to a czar. So a ger, because they're willing to assimilate, Levitical law says that they are required by law to protect the gers. They must by law protect the ger. But because the czar is not willing, they are not protected by Levitical law because they choose not to assimilate within the community. Now, here's an example of scripture for you to be thinking about. Rahab, as a prostitute, is considered a czar because she is not choosing to abide by the law biblically. But when they come in to take Jericho, she proclaims, I know that you are here because you are with the one true God and he has been given this land to you. She shows not only is she willing to assimilate, but to follow the one true God, because she did that. That is one of the reasons why they protected her. She showed that she was willing to assimilate and become a part of the people of God. And so she was someone by law that was declared a czar because of her prostitution, but because of the declaration she made, she moved to the status of ger.
Okay.
How cool is that?
That is cool.
Now, let's take the priest Michael. When the Benjamites ask him, will you please come be our priest? Leave where you are the priest and come and be our priest and bring your idols and let us have you be our private priest. He was a ger who estranged himself what the law said he was supposed to do as a priest. And he chose to walk away from being a ger and he became a czar. How about that?
Yeah.
So things aren't always what they seem.
No, they're not, because you can look at other characters. The woman at the well,
Yes.
That's amazing.
Okay, and so we're really going to have fun. Now, these are Hebrew terms that we're going to use to help us. We're gonna sum it down to, is this person willing to assimilate to God, or is this person not willing to assimilate to God? And we're going to look at this in the Old Testament. When we get to the New Testament, it's just going to be mind-blowing, because what we'll do at that point, we'll change from thinking of ger and czar, but we'll probably still use those terms, assimilate, not assimilate, but it'll go from unbeliever, pre-believer to believer, are the terms that show, you know, somebody in the process of becoming a child following the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? And we'll go into that in great detail. Now, we will not study this in our study, but I wanted it here for y'all to see, because I wanted you to see this information. A Nakri is a person who is a foreigner or a stranger, but they are hostile towards the people of God. They hold an allegiance to a different God, and they are not willing to assimilate, and they fall in the category of almost like a terrorist. Obviously, there are no regulations, no laws declaring them to protect them, guard them, serve them, anything. Obviously, at that point, they are at war because it's a terrorist against the people of God. And so we're not talking about the Nakri. We're going to be talking about the normal people, you know, those of us that, you know, they're like us. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. That is the definitions we will use in our basis. And every single week as we study the biblical narratives, we will examine, okay, who is a czar and who is a ger. And we're going to have so much fun seeing, because here's the deal. You guys, this is so, so cool. All right, we have been given a great command. Do you guys remember what the great command is? And I didn't prep y'all, but the great commandment is to love your Lord your God.
With all your heart.
With all your heart.
What else? Mind, soul, spirit.
Mind, soul, and spirit.
And what are you supposed to do? Love your neighbor.
As yourself.
Okay. Neighbor.
Neighbor.
Could be your enemy.
Could be.
Okay. You need to know that. So greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. the Great Commission.
Go and make disciples.
Of all nations, mm-hmm. baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Guess what? What we're going to be doing is we're going to be examining how we can do those two. And that is what Ogni and Roll in their coaching book call transformational. So having the transformation and the missional mindset combined together. And so our thoughts are going to be, who's willing to be transformational? Who's willing to be transformed and missional? Hmm. That's our goal. Like, we need to be willing to allow our hearts to be changed so that we can build the kingdom of God.
Yeah, I think of Paul.
Yeah.
Definitely him.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a transformation he made.
Right, exactly. And so that's what we'll be examining. We're going to ask this about each person and looking. So if they're a GER, that is a person that's going to be willing to have the transformation happen. And ultimately, if they're willing to be transformed, are they willing to be missional? Like, mm-hmm. and so seeing how we can grow in those stages, that's what we want. So when we get to David, Nabal, and Abigail, we're going to see Nabal totally not willing to be changed or have the heart of man. Mm-hmm. Abigail, oh my goodness, sees immediately the need for the community and is willing to radically make changes and strategy to change things. David, on the way to kill a man, but listens mm-hmm. to a wife mm-hmm. of a fool and changes the course of his action. So we will see how God changes people and their choices and how they behave based on their motivation and the knowledge, their strategy, and their action. Mm-hmm. And in their stages of that, we will see whether or not they're an infant, a child, a young adult, or a parent. How cool is that?
Mm-hmm. That is cool.
And then we will also be challenged, okay, what can I do in my life to be like that? Because that's the whole goal, is to make us to where we're more aware, mm-hmm. more culturally intelligent. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad you've been listening to us at Cultivating Hearts. Come back, because we have the final countdown of what we're going to look at to show how to love well the least of these. Next time, we're going to look at the scriptures that describe each of the people groups, and then we're going to go into what the ethics of hospitality are. Thanks. God bless.